This is Part B of the Stealth Revolution of Religion and Government in the Last Days, Number 2. Now, I will let you read this. And what happened? Just exactly the same thing back then. Roosevelt ran on fiscal conservatism. We will cut your taxes. We won't raise them. What happened? No one who has income of $250,000 or more or less will receive any tax increase until after I get in office and decide to change my mind. All right. Now let's look at some things here that are very important to understand. Let's come to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 29 and verse 12. Proverbs 29 and verse 12. Verse 12. If a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. That's what's happening. Not only does he hearken to lies, he believes them and espouses them, as well as FDR, as well as Woodrow Wilson. And almost every other president, once in a while, you may get one who will try and do right and turn things around. But oh, how they'd hate him. The campaign of hate. And the campaign of hate is a smear tactic of lies. Let me read you problem number 3, to mobilize by propaganda the forces of hatred. Just a couple of paragraphs. Do well. Who's the author of lies? Satan the devil, he's the father of it. Been a liar from the beginning. Right? Yes. All of those who follow lies are of the father Satan the devil. I don't care if you're the president, or you're a bum on the street, or you're homeless and you live under a freeway bridge. You believe lies, and you speak lies, you're of your father the devil. Just the way it is. Now here's what Lenin said. We must hate. Now think about the Obama press. Think about the comedians. Think about what they have done to Sarah Palin. Probably the only one who's trying to be honest. He says, hatred is the basis of communism. And we can say fascism. I don't remember his first name, but his last name is Goldberg, and he wrote the book, Liberal Fascism. We are seeing it in full force today. All right. It is no doubt the basis of all mass excitement, but Lenin was not himself the master propagandist. How shall the forces of hatred be mobilized? What are the first principles? These are the questions that now belong to a department of political science. The first principle of all is to fix the gaze of hatred upon one object. Did they do that to President Bush? Yes, they did. Have they done it to Rush Limbaugh? Hannity? Savage? Levin? The right-wing fanaticals! Lied about by the left-wing fanaticals. Because the right-wing fanaticals are not fanatical, they're just trying to tell the truth and to expose the lies. That's why they're fanatical. They don't believe our lies. And to make all other objects seem but attributes of that one. For otherwise, the force to be mobilized will dissipate itself in many directions. This was expounded by Hitler in Mein Kampf, where he said, it is the part of genius of a great leader to make adversaries of different fields appear as always belonging to one category. As soon as the wavering masses find themselves confronting too many enemies, objectivity at once steps in, and the question is raised whether actually all the others are wrong and their own cause or their own movement right. Therefore, a number of different internal enemies must always be regarded as one in such a way that in the opinion of the masses of one's own adherents, the war is being waged against one enemy alone. This strengthens the belief in one's own cause and increases one's bitterness against the attackers. That's our textbook. All because of sin. Remember, Hitler came in legally. What's happening right now with the third phase of this invisible revolution? The same tactics are being used, and it's done lawfully. Why do you think Obama must use a teleprompter? So that every word written by attorneys for him is recorded, and it's done legally. That's why when you see him speak without a teleprompter, and I was so happy to see that new modern teleprompter fall, collapse right in front of his face. All right, let's come to the book of Micah. Micah, chapter 1. Micah, chapter 1, verse 2. Hear, all you people. Now, this is to the ancient forefathers of Israel. Hearken, O earth, and all its fullness. Let the Lord God be witness against you, even the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place, and he will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. That's the second coming, isn't that true? Yes, indeed. And the mountains shall melt under him, and the valleys shall split open, as wax before fire, and as water that is poured down a steep place. All this is for the transgression of Jacob, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? Today we can just substitute London, Washington, D.C., Sydney, any capital of a modern descendant of Israel. And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? See, turning the back on God. Verse 6, this happened. The prophecy of Micah happened just like the prophecies of today are going to happen. So this is a type. What happens today is anti-type. I will make Samaria as a heap of ruins in the field, and as planting places for the vineyard, and I will hurl down her stones into the valley, and I will uncover her foundations, and all her graven idols shall be smashed to pieces, and all her gifts shall be burned with fire. And I will destroy all of her idols, for she gathered them as the hire of a harlot, and they shall return as the hire of a harlot. Therefore I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked, and I will make a wailing like jackals and mourn like the ostrich. For her wounds are incurable. For it has come to Judah, and it has reached to the gate of my people, even Jerusalem. All right, hold your place here and come to Isaiah, the first chapter. Because we're coming back to Micah. And remember, Isaiah and Micah prophesied at the same time. Isaiah, the first chapter. Now, what we're finding out, not only are these prophecies in what is called the Old Testament for Israel and Judah and the world then, but these are also prophecies of the end time. How many times does it say, in the latter days you shall consider it? In the end time it shall come to pass. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. So God uses that for a witness. They're still here, right? Yes, indeed. For the Lord has spoken, I've reared and brought up children, but they have rebelled against me. Are we in rebellion against God? Now, verse 3, Isaiah 1. The ox knows its owner, stupid animal, knows where to get fed, and the donkey is master's crib, but Israel does not know me, my people do not understand. And you just walk down the street and do any survey. Who's God? I don't know. What's his name? I don't know. Have you heard of the Bible? Yeah. What is it? I don't know. Now notice, ah, sinful nation, a people burdened with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger, they are gone away backward. And look at us, look how bad it is. And it's just getting worse, right? So God says, verse 5, why should you be stricken any more? Will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot to the top of the head, there is no soundness in it, only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed nor bound up nor soothed with ointment. And you can take a look at California. They said, oh, well, we'll get by with IOUs. The bank said in 10 days, we're not taking any more IOUs. Sickness, financially, physically. There it is. Then your country will become desolate and so forth. So then he pleads with them. Make things right, but they don't do it. Now come back here to Micah, the second chapter. Micah, the second chapter. Verse 1. Woe to those who plot wickedness and prepare evil on their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. Wonder if that's the motto of the bureaucracies. And they covet and seize fields and houses and take them away. They oppress a man and his household, even a man for and his inheritance. Therefore, says the Lord, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am plotting an evil from which you shall not remove your necks, nor shall you go proudly, for it is an evil time. In that day, one shall take up a parable against you and mourn a bitter lamentation, saying, shall we be completely laid waste? He's exchanged the portion of my people. How he has removed it from me. To the apostate he has divided our fields. Therefore, there shall not be for you anyone casting a line by lot in the congregation of the Lord. Now here's what a lot of people are going to say. Oh, you're so hard. I'm just reading prophecies. Well, don't have to do it that way. That's what here it is in verse 6. Do not prophesy, they say to those who prophesy. They say, do not prophesy about these things, for we shall not be made ashamed. They're not going to blush or repent. O you who are named the house of Israel, is the Spirit of the Lord limited? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him who walks uprightly, showing that even in the midst of trouble, if you're really doing what is right and you're following God, he's going to watch out for you. Doesn't mean you're not going to have difficulties, but he's going to watch out for you. Verse 8, even recently my people have risen up like an enemy. You strip off a cloak along with the outer garment from those who are trusting, who trustingly pass by you as those returning from war. All right, come to chapter 3. This is quite a chapter. And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and magistrates of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? So here's the rulers. And what do we have? An invisible revolution taking place and changing the government to where it is nothing what it was originally conceived to be. Everything set up for an absolute iron-fisted dictatorship in case of national emergency. No justice, no sense. Now notice, here's why everything is upside down and they won't tell you. You who hate the good and love the evil. That's what it is. They hate the good. They love the evil. Who tear the skin off my people and strip the flesh from their bones. That's what all these taxes are going to do. Healthcare is going to do. Who also eat the flesh of my people and tear the skin off them and break their bones and chop them into pieces like meat for the pot and like flesh for the cauldron. Then they shall cry to the Lord, but he will not answer them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have done evil in their doings. And personally, I don't think it's going to stop because they have not repealed abortion. They're still killing the wonderful creation of God in the wombs of their mothers because their mothers don't want them. And it's a bother to have children. And the state says, come right in here. They have done evil in their doings. Verse 5. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who mislead the people, who bite with their teeth and cry, peace, and even prepare war against those who do not put something in their mouths. Therefore, night shall be to you without a vision, and darkness, and not divination. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be darkness over them. All the seers shall be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. That's all the, you know, not only the seers, but think of the whole economic thing. They're telling everybody, oh, get back into the market, we're turning the corner. Read a little further down. It's going to be 5 years before we're out of this. What if China and all the other nations get together and say, we're not buying any more U.S. debt obligations? Because you see, Timothy Geithner, the tax cheat. Oh, we've got to have him. He's a wonderful man. Is busy going around the world, first stop to China, next stop to Saudi Arabia, the next stop to Dubai, to assure everyone that our debt obligations to them are secure. Now, why would he be doing that? If they're not already threatening to do as I propose, stop buying them. See, because just as it is here, if the invisible revolution and the dictatorship of that, which seems like democracy, cannot borrow, then they all lose. And if they cannot borrow and print money, we're going to end up like the Weimar Republic, and we're going to collapse in hyperinflation. That they couldn't print the money fast enough, so they had to have rubber stamps to increase the denominational size of the paper money they had. And it got so bad that they had to have the workers in the factories get off at 10, 2, and 4 to go home and give the money to their wives so they could run down to the market to buy things before the price went up again. And the bread got so expensive that you had to have a wheelbarrow full of that Weimar paper fiat money to buy a loaf of bread. You see, they're going to all be confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their mouths, for there is no answer from God. God, why are you doing this? The question is, what were you doing when I called? So Micah says, but truly I'm full of the power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob and the magistrates of the house of Israel, who hate judgment and pervert all equity. God is going to make them hear. God is going to take it all away. When God says that you will borrow and you will become the tail and you will be brought very low, he means exactly what he says. And it will happen. Maybe not this year, maybe not next year, maybe not in 3 to 5 years, but it will happen. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. Her heads judge for a bribe. Her priests teach for pay. Her prophets divine for silver. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? We're God's people. No evil can come upon us. Therefore, an account of you, Zion, because you say this, on account of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the temple as high places of the forest. Did that happen? Did God do that to Jerusalem? See, that's why it's important that you understand history. Because if you don't understand history, especially of the Bible and who we are, you don't understand anything. And it's going to come upon you, and you won't even know it. Now, here's one of the victims of hate. And this was March 17th, 1993, Congressional Record, Volume 33, page H1303. I'm going to do a little more reading here because you need to understand what has happened. This was by Representative James Traficant, Jr. of Ohio. Now, he did not read the whole thing except the first couple of paragraphs, but all the rest of it he wrote, and it was put in the Congressional Record. This is how they do it traditionally, so that they can get it in there. Otherwise, they would be up there speaking one after the other 24 hours a day. March 17th, 1993. Mr. Speaker, We are here now in Chapter 11. Members of Congress are official trustees presiding over the greatest reorganization of any bankrupt entity in the world history. I want you to add the years on. Okay? So what are we here now? 16 years later. And he's talking about the U.S. government. We are setting forth, hopefully, a blueprint for our future. There are some who say it's a coroner's report that will lead to our demise. It is an established fact that the United States federal government has been dissolved by the Emergency Banking Act, March 9, 1933, Statute 48.1, Public Law 89-719, declared by President Roosevelt being bankrupt and insolvent. That's why he called for the gold, because we were bankrupt. Now think about all the debt we have today and all the financial problems we have today. That is multiplied by about 1,000 times from what it was when Roosevelt declared this, which was the joint resolution to suspend the gold standard and abrogate the gold clause, and that dissolved the sovereign authority of the United States and the official capacities of all United States government offices, officers, and departments, and it is further evidence that the United States federal government exists today only in name. The receivers of the U.S. bankruptcy, United States bankruptcy, are the international bankers via the United Nations, the World Bank, and the International Monetary Fund. And what have they devised to replace this bankrupt state 16 years later? The G20 for a world currency. All United States offices, officials, and departments are now operating within a de facto status in name only under emergency war powers, with a constitutional Republican form of government now dissolved. The receivers of the bankruptcy have adopted a new form of government for the United States. This new form of government is known as a democracy being established, socialist/communist order, under a new governor for America. This act was instituted and established by transferring and or placing the office of the Secretary of State to that of the Governor of the International Monetary Fund. Then he quotes the House bill. The U.S. Secretary of Treasury receives no compensation for representing the United States. So they got all the gold, devalued the dollar, gave them back paper money, which is a debt instrument. They still said you could collect gold in some oblique manner. And it was totally removed later in 1978 by Richard Nixon. See? Totally off the gold standard. All right, now let's go on. This is very insightful. This is very historical. And you need to understand this so that when the hammer comes crashing down, you're going to know why. Gold and silver were such a powerful money during the founding of the United States of America that the founding fathers declared that only gold and silver coins can be money in America, because they saw the same thing happen in Europe, because the international bankers, the House of Rothschild and the Vatican had control of the money in Europe, and they did this over and over and over and over again. And when under the auspices of Woodrow Wilson, the Federal Reserve was established in the middle of the night just before the Christmas recession, and they didn't even have the votes to do it if you really research it. The Federal Reserve was born. Since gold and silver coinage were heavy and inconvenient for a lot of transactions, they were stored in banks, and a claim check was issued as a money substitute. People traded their coupons as money or currency. Currency is not money, but a money substitute. Redeemable currency must promise to pay a dollar equivalent in gold or silver. Money. Federal Reserve notes make no such promises and are not money. Now, let's all pause here, and you take out any denomination of U.S. money and look at it. I want you to look at it because you are paying debt with a debt instrument. I'm looking at a $5 bill. It can be a $1 bill, $20 bill, all right? And it reads, right across the top, Federal Reserve Note. It says $5, but what's the value of $5 when measured against what? It's an illusion. And only a psychological value as long as people accept it. All right, now read down a little further. Right below the seal of the United States of America, okay? This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. Brethren, that is not money. And please understand, your checking accounts are even less money. I'll just ask a question. With the economics going down the way they are, will there be another executive order asking for gold again? To give us a recovery from our problems? Of course! Will there be a bank holiday? Some financial experts say yes. Have to verify it yet. But all it would take to have a bank holiday would be for all of those who buy U.S. government debt instruments to say, no, we're not buying any. And furthermore, we are coming to you to demand payment on the ones that we hold. And furthermore, we will not take another note to replace this note. We want gold and silver. Now, if that day comes, which is very likely, there will be a bank holiday. My only question is, will it be only in America or will it be worldwide? Because the dollars are worldwide. And will it be, the only question I have in my mind, will it be, is that when they're going to institute the world new monetary system? Which will then bring in a world currency, which will then be a prelude to the last step, which will be the mark of the beast. Last week, President of Russia held up a gold coin and said, we're going to use this for foreign exchange. We don't want to use the dollar. That was President Medvedev. And of course, his puppet master, Putin, put him up to it. Whenever they ask for the gold, read the fine print. Last time, all collectors' coins were exempt from the gold confiscation. All bullion coins and bullion gold were to be turned in. See, that's how the rich keep their wealth. Remember, in any decree, remember, the wealthy are going to retain their wealth. Understand that. They're going to retain it. Now, they may lose some of it. That's the whole scheme of it. How can they bring this about so that the wealthy people in the world do not lose very much money? And they're the ones who invest in these collector coins. So you know that that's going to be exempt. A Federal Reserve note is a debt obligation of the federal United States government, and it is not money. The federal United States government and the U.S. Congress were not and have never been authorized by the Constitution for the United States of America to issue currency of any kind, but only lawful money, gold, and silver coin. Read just a little more. So Traficant continues. And I tell you what, they railroaded him out of Congress, and he was not reelected, and it's probably because of this right here. He continues, it is essential that we comprehend the distinction between real money and paper money substitute. One cannot get rich by accumulating money substitutes. One can only get deeper into debt. We the people no longer have any money. Most Americans have not been paid any money for a very long time, perhaps not in their entire life. Now, do you comprehend why you feel broke? Now, do you understand why you are bankrupt along with the rest of the country? Because if the rest of the world says, nada, no dollars, the dollar becomes instantly worthless. So to get out of debt and pay off your home is a good thing to do. They're not going to come and take your home right away, but they can, in an emergency, confiscate your home and everything you own. But that doesn't mean they're going to do it to everybody all at once, everywhere. See? Yeah. All right. Let's read just a little bit more here. Federal Reserve notes are unsigned checks without a closed account. Federal Reserve notes are an inflatable paper system designed to create debt through inflation, devaluation of the currency. Whenever there is an increase of the supply of money substitute in the economy without a corresponding increase in the gold and silver backing, inflation occurs. Just to give you one teeny-weeny bit of example, and I'll end here. Yesterday, I went into the local market here, Knob Hill, to buy a simple little cheap item, wheat bran, organic wheat bran. Last time I bought it, 79 cents a pound. This time, it was $1.29. So that is about 50 cents of 79 is like about 70% increase. About a 70% increase on such a little insignificant item. And I said, whoa, of course, the government tells us there's no inflation. But those who know about things say that the dollar today is only worth a couple of pennies from what it was back in the 50s. Well, we'll continue next time, because there's more. You need to know and understand these things. Some people say, well, why are you doing this? You're scared us to death. Please understand, what I'm speaking may put a little fear in you so you can understand what you need to do to protect yourself if you can, and what's really coming down, because when the event comes, that's going to scare you a whole lot more than what I'm speaking and saying. But if I do not speak it, God is going to hold me responsible for all of you. And the final analysis is this. It generates a desire for you to get closer to God because these things are coming down. Okay, we'll continue next time. You'll have to listen in for the next one in order to know who writes all of these monstrous bills. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.